I don't know if you're like me, right? But when people started to talk about Xmas, was anybody annoyed? Did anybody not like Xmas? Put up your hand if you didn't like Xmas. Okay, well, you know, we could probably relax about that, okay? Because, I mean, X, the cross, this X, it's actually, in the first century, it was really shorthand for Jesus, okay? So on my sermon notes now, I'm quite at ease with it. I know instead of writing Christian all the time, I write X-I-A-N, okay? Because it's shorthand for Jesus. I mean, even in Ictus, you know, that thing that the early church wrote, the X in it stands for Jesus, okay? Because to make the C-H sound for Christ in Greek, it's X, okay? So Xmas is okay. We can kind of relax about it. Because the X or the cross is absolutely crucial to our faith. It's crucial to our faith. In fact, the word crucial, okay, is from the Latin word crux, which means cross. So every time, you know, Richard Dawkins says, you know, this is a crucial point you're making, you can go, aha, you're saying cross, okay? So it's actually out of that word, cross, crucial, same word. The crux of the matter is that very Latin word, the cross of the matter. This word, cross, is in all our language. And, you know, one of my favorite discoveries, I've probably shared this with you before, but I was watching a pastor from America speak, and he was talking. He was talking about, you know, that verse, I think it's in Colossians, where it says that in him all things are held together. Have I told you this before? In him all things are held together. So the idea is in Jesus, everything's held together. Everything is held together. And he was speaking about this at the front of a room with thousands of people. And one scientist was sitting in the middle of the room. And he says, ah, you mean laminin. Laminin. Have you told this before? Laminin. And this pastor, you know, he'd studied some Greek and some Hebrew, but he'd never heard this word laminin. And it was only when the scientist showed him something in a book. And what he showed him was that there is this substance that holds cells together, okay? It holds cells together. And if you look at it in a microscope, you know what it looks like? A cross. Its structure is like a cross. So this cross, this picture of the cross is hidden everywhere. Don't worry about Xmas. It's okay, okay? It's Crossmas. It's Christmas. It's all the things that we'd want it to be. And that's what I want us to think about today, folks. Not the iPhone X, but the fact that in our creed we say, suffered. Let's put it up there, just let's say it together. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. Okay? And folks, I want us to think a little bit today about that X. All right? That X. And what it means in our lives. Now, who enjoyed maths at school? Not very many, okay. Right, if we move on to the next slide, just don't panic, all right? Don't panic. But that we have the X of algebra, don't we? And I was, as you know, a teacher for one day. And I went to Strand, and I can teach business studies up to, you know, A level or whatever, but I can only teach maths up to GCSE level. And in fact, I don't think I can remember any of it. But one of my memories was I was teaching in Armagh Tech for a couple of months. And I was teaching people who had failed their GCSE at least twice. Some of them had failed it five times, you know, so they were really hating it. And I was trying to teach them, you know, algebra. And in fact, I was trying to teach them quadratics, which were even worse, okay? And this wee boy came up to me and he said, he says, what the dickens do I need to know algebra and quadratics for? And I was really wrecking my brain to tell him a good reason, okay? But I said, well, you know, quadratics is useful for bridge building. He says, I want to be a sheep farmer. You know, there you go. It's a good point, like, to be fair. But the X, okay, the X in algebra is the unknown. Yeah, the unknown. So if you can figure out what X means, you normally can find out the answer. But here's the thing I want to share with you today, folks, is that the cross, the X of Christianity, is not unknown. It's not unknown. You see, the Bible speaks, if we move on to the next slide, it speaks of this idea of the mysterion, okay, is the word in Greek, or the mysterion. It means the hidden thing, the mystery. And it says here, if you read Colossians, and it does this loads of times in the New Testament, but it says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, or God's mysterion. That is Christ himself. See, the Christian faith isn't, there's mysteries in it, of course, okay? Lots of mysteries about who gets healed and who doesn't get healed and all these sorts of things. There's mysteries, okay? Lots of mysteries. But the ultimate mystery has been revealed to us. X has been revealed to us. And the cross means Jesus. See, we sometimes have this kind of, we talked about last week, you know, we'll go to out to do some evangelism, and we'll talk to people, what do you believe? And they'll say, well, I believe in God, I'm spiritual and all this sort of stuff. And you see, the key thing is that it's not just about believing in God and being spiritual, because it's not about X, because X has been revealed. We believe in God. What do we know about God? Well, we know he's the Father Almighty. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And he's been revealed in Jesus Christ. He was born of the Virgin Mary. You know, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And listen, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. It's not a mystery anymore. It's been revealed to us. And if people talk about faith in mysterious ways, engage with it, like engage with it completely, but know in yourself that it's not all wishy-washy, airy-fairy, having a clue, who knows. It's revealed. X has been revealed. The mysterion is Jesus Christ. You know, God has revealed himself in so many ways. I've listed some here, and they all started with C, so I was delighted with myself. And he's revealed himself through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. He's revealed himself through our conscience. Where does morality come from? It must come from somewhere. Through charisms, through gifts and acts of service. He's revealed himself through the canon of the Bible. He's revealed himself through culture. Like, we look at art, and we're in awe of the God who's behind it all. But he most fully reveals himself in Christ. It is not unknown, airy-fairy, having a clue. It is Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then he suffered under Pontius Pilate. It's not a mystery. Now, the second thing that an X means to us, trying not to stick too much to school days, it means wrong. Doesn't it? You know, and in my last year of Stromlillis, I get loads of sermons from it. You know, it's a waste of time otherwise, but loads of sermons. That's a joke. It was not a waste of time. But in my last year at Stran, what they suggested, they'd moved away from all these red pen marks on pages. Isn't that right, teachers? And all that sort of stuff. And what we were told to do was take a blue or something lovely and maybe instead of saying it's wrong, put a wee thought bubble around it and go, you might want to think about that. It's a joke, really, isn't it? But but X means wrong. X means wrong. Okay? And the cross, it does speak about wrong. You know, if you want to see what evil is like, you know, you can look, of course, at the horrors of the Second World War, and you can look at other things that happen in our world. But if you want to see what it looks like when the devil gets to have his own way, that's it, like the cross. A guy called Cicero, an ancient historian, wrote, it's the cruelest and most disgusting penalty. The very word should be banned from polite, civilized Roman conversation. It's awful, isn't it? See, Jesus' cross was so awful because sin is so awful. So if you think the cross is a horror, it's because sin in its full-grown state is a horror. You know, Jesus, I mean, people were in awe when Jesus had this paralyzed man drop down before him, completely paralyzed. And you ask, like, everybody in that room, what's this guy's biggest problem? And they would say, the poor fella's paralyzed. And, you know, it's bad to be paralyzed in the 21st century, but it's really, 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 really bad to be paralyzed in Jesus' day. And, you know, you ask, 10 out of 10 people, what's this guy's biggest problem? He's paralyzed. You know, Jesus sees him, he says, your sins are forgiven. He saw this man's biggest problem, not his arms or his legs or anything else, but his sin. Because sin is awful, and Jesus knew that. You know, on the next slide, we see what Jesus says right before he's crucified. He says, every day I was with you in the temple courts, you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. Like, sin is dark, and the cross is dark, and X means wrong. Everything about the cross was wrong. The trial was unjust. The execution was brutal. And even Pilate couldn't see anything wrong with Jesus, but he still went through with it. It's wrong, and sin is wrong, and the cross is wrong. And see, Pilate knew it was wrong, like inside of himself. He knew what was happening was so wrong, and he struggled. And, you know, his wife was no help at all because she came along and she says, you know, Pontius, I've had a wee dream last night, and you know what, you really, 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 really can't go through with this. And what did Pontius Pilate do? Washed his hands. And folks, when we see the cross and we see that it's wrong and we don't respond, we're doing exactly what Pilate is doing. We're just washing our hands, okay? And just carrying on like the cross doesn't exist. We don't need to respond. We don't need to apply Jesus' blood and his work to our lives. But X means wrong. Now, what else does X mean? Well, mwah, mwah, mwah. It means kissy, kissy, kissy. Let's get engaged, Nat, and all that, you know? Doesn't it? It means love. It means love. Do you know the common custom for placing X on envelopes, notes at the bottom of letters to mean kisses goes back to the Middle Ages when a Christian cross was drawn onto documents to mean sincerity. And then it was kissed to add the seal. So every time Richard Dawkins kisses his wife, you know, the cross, it's right there in the background. It means love. And this is how we know love, that Christ Jesus died for us. That God demonstrated his love for us by giving Christ. This is love. And you know, what I love, if we move on to the next slide, lovely quote from John MacArthur. He says, the cross is both the proof of the immense love of God and the profound wickedness of sin. So it does mean wrong, the cross, but it also means love. Love. And he loves us. He really loves us. Have you ever thought about this? That for God to create the world cost him absolutely nothing. You know, it just says in the Bible, he said, let there be light. And there was light. He just sort of spoke things out. It cost him not a thing. You know, but to recreate the world cost him everything. Has that ever occurred to you? Like, to create the world cost him nothing at all, but to recreate the world cost him his only begotten Son. And why did he do it? Why? Well, let me quote Eliza's favorite book. For anyone who doesn't know Eliza, she's my 3-year-old daughter. Her favorite book, the Jesus Storybook Bible. You say you've come to rescue us, people shouted. You can't even rescue yourself. But they were wrong. Jesus could have rescued himself. A legion of angels would have flown to his side if he'd called. If you were really the Son of God, you could just climb down off that cross, they said. And of course they were right. Jesus could have just climbed down. Actually, he could have said a word and made it all stop. Like when he healed that girl and stilled the storm and fed 5,000 people. But Jesus stayed. You see, they didn't understand. It wasn't the nails that kept Jesus there. It was love. It was love. Love for me and love for you. And folks, you know the incredible thing? You know when Jesus says about your hour of darkness is now? You know, this is your hour. Well, the incredible thing is that was not God losing control. Jesus, right from the very start of his ministry, was moving towards the cross. It was love. It was a voluntary sacrifice for you. For you. That's what the cross speaks of. So the X, what do we need to remember? It's not about the unknown. It's not algebra. It's known to us. It's revealed to us. The X means wrong. Sin is awful when fully grown. But it also means love. Finally, what else does an X mark? If we move on to the next slide. Pirates. Treasure map. The X shows where the treasure is. The cross shows where the treasure is. You know, we actually see two crosses on that map. We've got the crossbones and we have the treasure cross. And maybe in a sense that's the offer that we all have as people. Do we receive the crossbones or do we receive the treasure? You know, John Piper says this. He says, life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure it is, and cleave to it as the highest prize of every pleasure, the deepest comfort in every pain. Life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure it is, and cleave to it as the highest prize. Is the cross our treasure? Is it our treasure? You know, even in this moment of wrong, unjust trial, the unjust, disgusting execution that Jesus had to deal with, you know the amazing thing? He actually was able to lead the thief next to him into life. The thief beside him discovered the treasure. The other thief discovered the crossbones. But the thief beside him discovered the treasure. Even more amazing, there's a centurion down there, and he's seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people crucified. And one day in Roman history, there were 2,000 people crucified. He saw so many crucifixions, but that day, a centurion finds the treasure. And the thief beside him finds the treasure. And then we hear that Jesus died and was buried. But this treasure must not stay buried. And it doesn't stay buried. And we will talk about it next week, or Carlton will, when he comes back with his tan. Okay? Because we know that this Savior is going to rise again, this buried treasure is going to rise again. And what is our response to this risen Jesus? What is our response to him? You know, folks, I want to close now. I'm not going to speak for much longer, but I want to close now by just recognizing that there's two people mentioned in the Creed. If you take Jesus out, there's two people mentioned in the Creed. Who are they? Pontius Pilate and Virgin Mary. Okay. So, you know, if you were thinking about it, you know, you think that's light and dark, isn't it? You know, you've got the Virgin Mary. Okay. Pontius Pilate. Boo. Okay. You've got light and dark there, don't you, in those two names mentioned. And Pilate washed his hands. He washed his hands, didn't he? Mary took the responsibility, received the commission, and responded to God. But Pontius Pilate, he washed his hands. And maybe you are a person who comes to church every week and hears about this cross and washes your hands. Well, there's something for you this morning, folks, that I'd love to share with you. Now, this is not in the Bible. You can debate it. There could be other ideas about it. But I just think it's glorious that Tertullian, who is the person that we get most of our early history from the first century, a guy called Tertullian, and he records that Pilate became a Christian later in life. Do you know this? That he became a Christian later in life. And this is why the Ethiopian church made him a saint. Because Pilate came to know the Lord. And history, church history, suggests that then he started to write letters. And first of all, he wrote to Emperor Tiberius reporting on Jesus. And then he was martyred because he tried to, by letter, convert Caesar. Folks, here is what I want to say to you. I want to say that we need to believe. We need to believe in God, and we need to believe in the conception by the Holy Spirit, and we need to believe in the birth by the Virgin Mary, but we need to believe that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And we need to respond to it. We need to respond to it. And isn't it amazing that we have a God that even when we wash our hands again and again and again and ignore again and again and again, that he keeps on coming after us with another chance. And isn't it glorious that Pontius Pilate discovered that the unknown can be known? If we move on to the next slide. Sorry, on the next slide. Apologies. That the unknown can be known, that the wrong can be made right, that the love has been demonstrated, and that the treasure is available.